Oh.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the End Zone podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and I'm joined by the co-host, the original co-host, Christian Castain. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
I'm feeling downtrodden. The Broncos are currently losing to the Chiefs. Trevor Siemian looks like he's going to be benched, and it looks like I'm going to have to deal with Brock Osweiler in my life, which I
Well,
simply cannot do.
in the second half, he's played a little better. There's improvement in the second half from the first half, so that's something to look at.
Yeah, I mean, they're still, they're okay. They're meh. I'm afraid they're going to end up with a top 10 pick in the draft. I feel like the rest of their schedule is a recipe to go like 6-10.
Yeah, I'm thinking they're gonna be an average 8-8 team, right now.
Yeah. Well, we're not here to lament the Broncos. We're here to talk about some exciting trade news that came down at the deadline. Usually, the NFL doesn't have a whole lot of like quote blockbuster trades, but it provided two here today, and let's start with the big one that is Jimmy Garoppolo to the 49ers for a second round pick. Wow.
Yeah.
When I saw this on my phone, I was honestly shocked. Like, I did not think they were going to move Garoppolo.
I didn't think they were either. And do I think they should have? No.
Yeah, I mean, I think that 49ers fans, this is extremely exciting, though, because Jimmy Garoppolo with Kyle Shanahan, yes, you're not going to see it this year, but I think that actually helps because you're going to be able to get Jimmy Garoppolo into the system. He probably won't start immediately, because they know they're not going to be a playoff team this year. He'll get to learn the offense. He'll probably I predict that they're I'm just pulling up their schedule here really quick. I predict that he starts in week 10 probably. I feel like they probably won't start him this week just because he'll be so new and
Right.
not really ready for the whole. You know what I mean? Not
Yeah.
really ready for the spotlight yet. I think a good place to start him, I think he's gonna put, will be against the Giants, and then he'll get a game against the Giants, then he'll get a bye week, and then really Jimmy Garoppolo's first real test as a starting quarterback will most likely be Seattle in week 12.
I think they have a great chance if everything's going as it seems. I think they have a great chance to beat the Giants in week 10. But I mean, that's week 10. We'll talk about that when it comes. But I was just saying, I do think they have a better chance.
Yeah, by no means we've not neither of us think that the 49ers are gonna go anywhere. They're not gonna run the table and go 8-8, are they?
No
No.
chance.
I don't think it'd be crazy if they got 5 wins though. I think 5 wins is about the right number.
I don't know, I'm still thinking about 3 wins. I don't think quarterback was the only thing wrong in San
Well,
Francisco.
I think they could beat the Giants, they could beat the Bears, they could beat the Titans, they could beat, yeah, maybe only 3 wins. They have a tough remaining schedule.
Yeah,
Next week the Cardinals, then the Giants, then the Seahawks, then at the Bears. That's a tough game, especially because of how well the Bears defense is playing right now.
no.
Then at the Texans, then the Titans, then the Jaguars, then finish off the season at the Rams. They have a rough second half.
Yeah, for me, if he were gonna start, like he's not going to. We're not assuming he is because he's not starting this week. But if he were gonna start this week, I think they could beat Arizona. The only thing is the system. I don't think he can get in the system that fast. But Maybe, maybe not. We don't know for sure. For me, this is gonna, this is about to tell us, is Jimmy Garoppolo Belichick system quarterback only? We're about to find out how legit he is. We're about to find out if it's just the system that's in New England that makes you better, or if you can go into different systems like Kyle Shanahan's and be better, or the same quarterback that he was in New England. Because when we saw him play, he played fairly well. I just don't know.
He played awesome.
Yeah, that's what he played. I'll say well.
He played like a top 10 quarterback, honestly. Like, he had four touchdown pass. He had six touchdown passes over 2 weeks.
Yeah, I agree. But for you, for us, we're about to find out where, if he's just a product of the Belichick system, if Belichick's system makes you that much better, or if he can, if it's not just the Belichick system and he's a he's a very talented quarterback and he can bring something into San Francisco, which I think he can. It's just hard with it being the Belichick system.
I'm gonna make the guess of yes, and it's because of a guy I've been super high on this podcast, and I'll give you a guess. Who is the other Belichick quarterback that is no longer there that I'm really high on?
Jacoby Brissett.
Right. Exactly. Jacoby Brissett is having, even though they're not winning games, if you look at how his game tape and how he throws the ball and how he's developing in a Chuck Pagano system, and Chuck Pagano doesn't know how to run an offense, like, he's succeeding just fine. And Brissett was like, when they put Brissett is, I think, like a tier down from Garoppolo. So I think, especially in a Kyle Shanahan offense, I don't think it's going to be immediate results, but I think this is perfectly timed for the Niners, because he'll get a week to learn the system, then he'll get half a season to kind of get familiar. They'll get a top five draft pick next year. They'll add weapons around him in free agency and the draft. And I mean, what's to keep us from thinking the Niners already have a very interesting defense? It's not top 10, but it's not bottom 10. It's in the middle. What's to keep us from thinking, if they add pieces around him this offseason, that the 49ers could very well make the playoffs next year? It's as like a wild card team. I don't know. It's a great trade.
For the 49ers, it's perfect timing. Midseason, you have a half a season basically to get Garoppolo used to Kyle Shanahan's system, which we know took Matt Ryan last year. It took him, the year before, it took him a whole year to get used to that system. So I think I think he can figure out in a half a season plus the off season, and then going into the next season, I think there's possibilities. I think they're probably more like a 500 team more than a. So they're not going to be a 4-12 team, I don't think. I think his system's too good for that. I think, especially if his quarterback is used to his system, there's no way that they go 4-12. It's just, it doesn't seem likely. I would say that they're a 500 team with him.
Yeah,
I think, like I said, this is the absolutely perfect time, because they're going to get enough wins. They're going to get some momentum, but at the same time, they're going to get a top five draft pick, like you said.
Yeah, it's going to be next year, and maybe not next year, because usually it takes teams about a year and a half to figure things out. Usually when the hype gets going around a team, they're about a year away. Like, not next year, but I feel like the year after, we're going to be talking about the 49ers like we're talking about the Eagles right now, and the Texans, and teams that have these dynamic young quarterbacks. Jimmy Garoppolo, people were talking about it before the draft. Now we'll really get to see if Jimmy Garoppolo is better than Carson Wentz. Everyone was saying past two drafts, Jimmy Garoppolo is better than Carson Wentz and Jared Goff. He's better than all of the quarterbacks available in this draft. So we'll just see what happens now. But I'm really excited.
I'm surprised John Lynch pulled this trade off. I really am, because New England was down that they were not going to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. Whatever reason, it was declined. Browns declined. Top draft declined. And now midseason that they're trading him to the 49ers for a second-round draft pick when they thought he was first-round draft pick, and they were down and determined that they weren't going to trade him unless it was a first-round draft pick. Props to John Lynch for being able to pull off that trade that shot the world, I think, pretty much, that he was traded to the 49ers. It did. Nobody knew it was coming. But another thing to look at is Tom Brady in New England. This means that they're planning on Tom Brady playing at least another 1 to 2 seasons. That's what it means.
Like, and this is, in my opinion, this is the beginning of the end of the Belichick-Brady era in New England. I think that the fact that Bill Belichick traded away Jimmy Garoppolo, who he's said things like he's one of the greatest players I've ever coached, he is one of the hardest workers. I think the fact that he's traded away one of his favorite players is a signal to the NFL that once Brady's done, Belichick's done. And I think that major shift happens. Now, who knows? That might be another 5 years with Tom Brady's health. But I don't know. Do you think that's reasonable to think? I feel like this is kind of the beginning of the end, but we don't know when. The end is basically when Tom Brady retires.
Yeah, or, well, I don't. I think I agree because Belichick's been coaching so long. He's not like an upper age, but he's, by the time Brady retires, if Brady gets injured, the Patriots are done. They're done because they traded away their backup, the only caliber quarterback that was even close to imagining the starting in Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, the fact that they traded him away, if they're banking on Tom Brady not getting injured, they're banking on him staying for multiple years. They've probably already talked to Tom Brady, and meaning that he's probably planned on playing for another at least, I'm guessing, 1 to 2 seasons. And it also means that they're almost guaranteed to pick up a quarterback in the next draft.
Yeah, I feel like this was. I know people say, oh, Bill Belichick's a genius. He trades for all these guys. But, I mean, this year, if you look at it, he is like the Patriots have traded away Jacoby Brissett for Philip Dorsett. And Dorsett hasn't done anything in that offense. And the Colts won that trade. And here, where the Browns were offering a late first rounder last year and a second rounder and more for Jimmy Garoppolo last offseason at the draft, and the fact you give him the 49ers for only a second round draft pick, like, I get that Bill Belichick has earned respect, and rightfully so, but those are two awful trades. Like, they've had the worst year of, like, trading in general, I think.
The worst regular season year, because the offseason they traded for Brandon Cooks, which was a really good trade at the time, but now, after the two backup quarterback trades in Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy Garoppolo, I think I don't like either trade. I think the Patriots, I'm just surprised they did not get a first-round draft pick for Jimmy Garoppolo. It doesn't make any sense to me why you would trade them if it's not a first-round draft pick. Unless there's somebody else, there has to be somebody else that they see in the draft right now that is better than Jimmy Garoppolo. That's what it tells me.
Well, I mean, it is a super deep quarterback class this year.
It is.
Ian, our good friend Ian Cusick, in our group chat, he suggested that the Patriots take Baker Mayfield. That, I don't know. That doesn't seem crazy.
I don't know if he's
going to
be there. I don't know if he's going to be there at that time.
I don't know.
They're not picking up a Josh Rosen.
They could take him in the second round. Late first round. I feel like Baker Mayfield's going to be there. Like, let's think about the guys who are going in the first round, probably. Rosen, Darnold.
Jackson, they're not going to be there.
Jackson, probably. But I don't think Belichick will want Jackson.
Yeah,
I don't think he's his style of player.
Those three you named off aren't going to be there. There's a 0% chance.
Yeah, I know, but you never know. The Patriots will be sitting here in May and saying, oh, the Patriots play perfect. And they've just won back-to-back Super Bowl. So it shows you what we know.
Well, I mean, if Tom Brady's there, it's clearly. I mean, we're not going to be saying that because, I mean, Tom Brady's has 5 rings, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, we'll be sitting here in February. Bill Belichick will prove us wrong again, and it won't matter that they traded Jimmy G, and they'll be sitting pretty atop the NFL again. I hope not. A team that this week, though, did really make a case for the fact that they are back and should be considered heavy Super Bowl favorites is the Seattle Seahawks. And we could kind of combine the trade and game talk together. One of the best games of the year against the Titans. What do we think about the Seahawks? Are they for real?
The defense looked. When the offense gets going, it seems like the defense kind of takes a back step. But when the offense is down, the defense seems like it takes a step up. It's kind of weird, and that's why I'm not saying that they're definitely not heavy favorites. I don't even know if they're a favorite to go to the Super Bowl. I think right now Philadelphia has to be because of the way they played. But for me, this game, the defense worried me this game, and especially after losing to Jeremy Lane. I think that was a big loss. What do you think?
Who?
Jeremy Lane. The loss.
Jeremy Lane. They did trade Jeremy Lane, but he wasn't playing amazing. I mean, he's a good corner, but he's not nearly as important as a Richard Sherman or an Earl Thomas or.
And he wasn't. He's not as important as he was 2 years ago, but he's still a factor. He is still part of the Legion of Boom, and I don't think it's going to be as elite. And obviously, it was. I mean, we just saw what happened.
Well, in their defense, they traded a position of major strength and depth for a tackle. And, oh, my God, that changes everything. I know people say Dwayne Brown's washed up or whatever, but he played great against the Seahawks, and he's played great the past few years. I think that if you give Russell Wilson one good tackle, he can put up numbers like he did on Sunday and maybe even better. And maybe they have no run game right now. Maybe you can start to see I'm not saying they're going to gash teams with run game, but they're going to have more than 30 yards a game. They're going to be closer to a middle of a road running team. And that's dangerous when you have a great quarterback like Russell Wilson, who, by the way, people don't give Russell Wilson enough respect. I don't know if you said that he wasn't a top three quarterback. I think he is. I take him over Breeze right now. No matter what you put around Russell Wilson, he's always going to be great.
Well, for me, it's the fact that they haven't – it's what they haven't had in the way he looked at the beginning of the year. They look sketchy. For me, I'm just not ready to put them there yet. In 3 weeks, I might be able to – I take that back. I think right now with Aaron Rodgers being out, if you consider everything – maybe he's top five.
Yeah, well, he's definitely top five, honestly. Like, right now, who is it? For me, it's Brady 1, Wilson 2, Wentz 3, Breeze 4, and not Breeze isn't even in the top five, for to be honest. But that's just because, for some reason, I undervalue Drew Breeze. Don't ask me why. I don't like his playing style. Maybe that's it. He's a good quarterback, and I'll acknowledge
it. I have Wentz in my top five.
I think he's top 10 for sure, but I don't think Drew Brees is playing like a top five quarterback right now. Do you think that's fair to say?
Drew Brees just doesn't have the talent around him, in my opinion.
Right, but that's my point. That's why Russell Wilson is better, because when Wilson doesn't have the talent around him, he still makes stuff happen.
For me, any good quarterback is going to look better in front of a good offensive line. Neither have the best offensive line. Neither have. I think Breeze's offensive line is a little better than Russell Wilson's up to now. I mean, maybe Wilson's is getting closer to average. It's still not there. I can't consider one tackle. It's going to make a difference now, but it's not going to. I don't think it's going to make a big giant difference. So yeah, I'll agree with you there. I would take right now. I'm taking Wilson over Breeze just based off purely this season. Right now, I'm going to base it off this season, and I think Wilson's put up better, not even numbers, but I think he's played better than Breeze. I do want to keep in mind that Breeze just doesn't have the talent at wide receiver or tight end. Ingram's a good running back, but it doesn't help Breeze a whole lot. But I just don't think Breeze has the talent.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we can agree there. I think I'm really excited to see the Seahawks. This is always the time of year where they get really exciting and fun to watch on offense and defense. I think... honestly, like looking at their schedule, and here's our next news item, consequently, I think they'll win out, and I said the Dallas Cowboys might win out. Well, I don't think that anymore, because Ezekiel Elliott's suspension was upheld, and essentially the Cowboys might be done. We don't know yet, because I still believe in Dak Prescott, and I'm really excited to see what he does the next 6 weeks. Because, Chris, let me extend this olive branch to you.
Sure.
If Dak Prescott, in the next 6 weeks, can throw 15-plus touchdowns, 10 or less interceptions, and for 2,000 yards... not 2,000 is too high. 1,500 yards. Will you consider him a top 10 quarterback?
It depends on how he looks and that. Like,
No. It's not how he looks. It's if he throws 15 plus touchdowns and less than 10 interceptions in 6 weeks with 1,500 yards. How are you going to sit here and tell me that that's not a top 10 quarterback?
Are we talking about him throwing 10 interceptions or...
10 or fewer. 10 or fewer.
If we're talking like he throws 7-plus interceptions, then no.
What are you talking about? Come on. If he throws 15-plus touchdowns, though, he's definitely not a game manager.
I'm not going to say... We're about to find out if Dak Prescott... We're about to find out more about this Dak Prescott than we have in his rookie year or this year, because... But I think Dallas has a good running back corps, even without Ezekiel Elliott. It's not great, but it's good. It's okay. And I don't think Dak Prescott's going to put up the numbers that you think he is or that you even announced. I don't think he'll even put up 10. He might put up 10 touchdowns. I think 15's way too high. We would see that out of somebody like a Matt Ryan or a... Phillip Rivers or Drew Brees, not this year, but we would have seen that normally out of Drew Brees. I just don't think he's that type of quarterback, and I think their system's going to keep the same. I think they're going to go run heavy because they have Darren McFadden and what's it, kid they traded for from Washington. I can't remember his name. I just think that they're going to have enough to be able to keep their system, and they're going to toss between McFadden, and I just don't see Dak Prescott putting up great numbers. I'm not saying he's going to put up bad numbers. I'm just saying I don't see 15 touchdowns at all. I see 8 to 2 interceptions, something like that. Maybe 10 touchdowns. I'll give you 10.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're probably right, but I'm really excited. I think that Dak Prescott can do his thing. I really think that he's going to do well, and I hope Dallas makes the playoffs, because at this point, there's 8 games left. I mean, they can win four out of their six games and get Zeke back, like, I think they can make the playoffs. You think, like, what's the minimal amount of games they can win to be a, still be considered a playoff contender? I think it's pretty high. I think it's four.
I think it's for me, it's three. I think if they go 3-3 down the stretch, because let's look at their schedule. I have it up right now. They're playing at home versus the Chiefs.
I think they can upset there.
I agree. I think they can still beat the Chiefs with this is what the reason I just said. At Falcons, I think that's going to be a tough one. I don't think at Atlanta. I just right now I'm not seeing it.
I can see that. I can see Atlanta kind of next week really figuring things out and putting up a big offensive performance after they bounced back this week. I can see Atlanta. A quick side note, Atlanta, they didn't play great on Sunday, but they bounced back a little bit. As a Falcons fan, are you happy with what you saw?
It wasn't great, but it's a starting point. After three losses, the way they lost those games, just to win a game versus the AFC East team is an improvement. I think we saw improvement, but there's a whole lot more to go. This is just the beginning.
Yeah, I think you're right, though. I think that Atlanta next – I think this week Atlanta's going to have a semi-big game offensively. Like, I'm saying probably 21-plus points for offense.
Against a mediocre Carolina defense, yes. I would agree with you that they're going to
And then I think you're right. Against a bad Cowboys defense, I could see Atlanta going off and dropping, like, 30 or 40 points on them.
Then you got Eagles – they're going to lose that game.
Is it at the Eagles or at home?
It's at Dallas. But
okay, I'm taking Dallas at home there. I think Dallas can win divisional home games even against the Eagles.
And then your game, Chargers Cowboys.
that's a rough. That's going to be. It's all dependent on how the Chargers come in. Like, the Chargers are a Heat team, if you know what I mean. Like, if you get them coming off a loss, you're probably gonna win. But if you get them coming off a win, then I think they're a dangerous team. So well, it just depends.
Well, me and you talked about it before. We talked about it during the pre-show, and I told you I do think the Chargers will win that game. I did kind of, because on my thing, I was live last night and I said, if Zeke's gone, I think the Chargers will win that football game. And I'm going to stand by that. As much as I don't want to, we'll talk about the Chargers a little bit.
So that's four games through.
Let's quickly go to the others. Redskins and Giants.
Okay. I think they can win three. But I think they have to beat the Eagles at home. They have to beat the Eagles at home if they want a playoff chance, in my opinion. Because, one, it's a division loss and it drags you closer to the Eagles. Because I think the Eagles are going to lose two more games. I think they're going to end up at about 12-4.
The Cowboys have to win three of the next six games. They have to go 3-3,
have to win. Here's what I'm gonna say: if they win three, one of the games has to be against the Eagles. If they win four, they can lose the game to the Eagles.
Are we talking about for division chance or for
We're talking about for playoffs
for a wild card. I said
for a wild card.
I say so because.
I
think it's done.
If and when, and they most likely will, the Eagles beat the Broncos next week, I think that pretty much clinches it. I think the Eagles need one more win, and then I think that division's kind of out of reach, especially with the way that the Redskins are kind of floundering right now.
And especially if Dallas loses, if they win next to three of their next six, that puts them. If they win out beyond with the next two games, if they're at 10-6, they'll have a chance to pick up a wild card. If they win less than three games, they're done. We can mark them out. call them done. They're not even going to make the playoffs. But we know Dallas is notorious for when they look mediocre, they're notorious for going 500. If we remember the three seasons, they went 8-8, three straight seasons. It's looking right now, that's a possibility again.
Yeah, that wouldn't shock me.
Not with me either, but I mean, it's looking like a possibility. And I'll go beyond that. And I don't know if we might want to save it, but Jason Garrett's job might be on the line.
I don't think that's true. We'll finish on that note. I don't think Jason Garrett's job's on the line. I mean, unless they lose the rest of their games, unless they finish with a losing record, like, unless they're 7-9 or worse, his job's not in danger. He's made it to the playoffs, but he's made it to the divisional round.
Yeah, but that's it.
It's still something. Like, who are they going to hire? There's no one out there as far as coaching trees go.
I mean, I'm not saying that they will. I'm just saying I think it's a chance. I don't think it's a high chance.
There's certainly a possibility. I won't argue with you there. Yeah. Well, Chris, I think we've exhausted all this. So we'll be back Wednesday, right?
Yep.
And are you doing? You're doing something else this week, aren't you?
Yep. With the college football playoff rankings come out Tuesday night, tomorrow night. So Wednesday we will have a Wednesday or Thursday, whatever way it works. We're gonna have a college football podcast.
Awesome. So four shows this week. This one we're gonna do a power ranking show. Then we're going to do Chris will do his college football show. I'll be absent for that one because I know nothing about college football. And then, of course, we'll do our Friday preview show per tradition. So yep. We will see you all next time. Peace out.